Spring, 1887. It was a grey day. Above the spires and rooftops of Liverpool, the sky lowered, threatening rain. Tina hurried along with her small hand in Grandma's, found excitement and anticipation lost in breathlessness, felt a stitch stab her side like a knife. But she knew better than to complain or hang back, for Mama was ahead with baby Cecilia in her arms, following the man who was wheeling their boxes on his cart, and they must not lose sight of those boxes. One contained Tina's best clothes, her wax doll, her much-thumbed storybooks. So she gritted her teeth and struggled uncomplainingly on. Grandma slowed, caught in the press of people, and bent towards the child.
"See the ship, Tina? The Orania, that is. A big ship, eh, for a girl so small to ride on?"
Tina, who was not quite five and small for her age, could see nothing but the enormous woman in front of her, her bustle draped in many folds of dusty black crepe. She smiled at Grandma, however, glad to stand still for a moment, tilting her head upwards towards the grey sky. Grandma, not understanding, said again,
"A big ship, eh, Bubbly? So safe it will carry you across the ocean, all the way to America."
She had scarcely finished speaking before the crowd began to move once more, and they were pushed forward, mounting the gangplank at a snail's pace, to arrive, bewildered, upon a busy deck, then to descend into the darkness of the steerage space, which smelt of people, food, and mildewed linen. Deborah was already ensconced in a narrow cabin containing a bed for herself, a cot for her little daughters, and their boxes and bundles, for freight was expensive unless it was carried in your own quarters. Tina's eyes flew to the box holding her things and saw with relief that it was securely stowed. Her doll, Pigeon, was safe.
"Mama, can I unpack Pigeon now?"
"Not yet, sweetheart." Deborah smiled and stroked her daughter's cheek softly.
"Do you like the ship, Tina? It will take us to Papa. Shall we go back on deck now? It's very stuffy down here."
"All right. Shall I take Cece's hand?"
"No, I'll carry her. Her fat little legs are tired."
Tina could see no reason why Cece should be tired, since Mama had carried her all the way from the boarding house where they'd spent the night. But she followed the adults obediently back onto the deck. A fine rain had begun to fall, and the freshening wind blew it against their faces. Deborah said awkwardly,
"Better go ashore, Mooty, or you'll get carried off to New York with us."
"All ashore!"
The warning, shouted stentorially from near the gangplank, scattered the old woman's careful composure. She snatched Tina up and hugged her fiercely, her seamed peasant face working with the intensity of her emotion. In times of stress, she reverted to her native tongue.
"I pray to God I shall see you again," she muttered in German.
She gave the child one more hug, then stood her down, kissed Cece, and patted her daughter's shoulder.
"You may be done right," she said in English. "Take care of my bubbles and of yourself."
"I'm sure I'm doing right," Deborah answered, striving for briskness, though the tears were running down her cheeks.
"You'll see us again soon enough, Mooty. And just you take care, too. Hear me?"
The voice called out again, warningly, and Deborah watched the old woman making her way across the deck, her shoulders stooped. She did not look back until she reached the quayside, and then she paused only a moment before hurrying off into the thinning crowd. Tina was puzzled.
Where was Grandma going? Had she left the ship to fetch something they'd forgotten?
Then suddenly, light dawned.
Grandma was not going to New York with them. She was going back to Norwich. She would catch the railway train, and tomorrow she would be back in Grapes Hill, unlocking the front door of the small house squeezed between the Chandlers and Porritts, the game dealer. It was Grandma's home, and Tina's too.